When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. Wanted to, at the top of this one, throw out a reminder about the storyearth.tumblr.com site, where we are inviting you to post images that you have been posting in the Art and Story Forum. If you want to put a more public face on some of the cool discussion that you guys have been having in the Art and Story Forum, we'd love to have you there. How do you participate? Just email me. jerseydrozd@gmail.com, and I will grant you access. You'll be sent an email with a little invitation link, and then you'll be included as a contributor to that Tumblr site, and it's easy as pie to post images and post to Tumblr. And you're also invited, if you want, to post some of your, you do mini blogs. Do blogs, you can post audio boos, you can post anything that you think would be appropriate to the kind of discussion you'd be having in the forums. Just to put a more public face on some of the stuff you guys have been doing there. And the question's going to come up. How is this being policed? How is this being moderated? Well, I have the administrative key. So if anything inappropriate does happen there, I can delete it. But the fact that you guys are supreme subscribers, I think, has done a lot of the police work for me. You guys have a really clear sense of what the vision and what the tone and what the ethos of Art and Story has been. So I really don't expect to have to, I mean, I haven't had to go into the forums and police any of the discussions in there. I haven't had to say like, hey, don't say that. You can't be that. You can't do that. You know, just if you have any questions about what's appropriate or inappropriate, just look at in the forums. There's a thread there or a post that's sticky at the top called The Rules. And that clearly spells out what you can and cannot do, you know, and it's all, you know, it's common sense stuff. Don't say incendiary remarks. Don't be mean. Don't misrepresent yourself or us. You know, don't pretend to be somebody else. That kind of stuff. But again, I mean, like I said, I know you guys are all good people, so I don't really feel too worried about it. So what am I thinking about today? Well, this is going to be a part two to the last one where I talked about developing the heroes for this pitch for this new job that I've got. And I thought I would share some thoughts on building the villains because I just recently finished creating the line of villains. And I turned them in at the time of this recording. I have not received any notes from the client yet. But there are observations to make in terms of creating a team of villains for an all-ages project where I am a nonprofit organization is paying me to create stories to develop to deliver pro-social messages through an exciting action-adventure tale. And I explained before in past episodes that my creative parameters I created as an experiment and as a creative exercise was to develop all the ideas from the mindset of a 10-year-old and write the story, develop the characters from the mindset of an adult. This became a problem with the villains. Reason why is that, in my experience at any rate, children tend to come up with ideas that could be misunderstood as being inappropriate for their age group. Okay. So I have 9, 10-year-old kids who are writing comics. I don't have these kids, I mean they're my students, who write stories about zombies eating people's brains. You know, third graders writing stories about, you know, opening up somebody's head and pulling out the brains and eating them. Guys just lathered in guns, shooting up everything in sight, buildings blowing up, people dying, giant monsters squishing people. And these kids do it in this kind of spirit of cheerful play because they don't fully, at least like when you're talking about third graders, second graders, they don't have a full concept yet of what death is. They just know this is exciting and, you know, they understand the word death, but they don't understand the kind of suffering that comes along with death, what the ramifications of death are. And this is why it's a challenge when creating children's entertainment, because you have to keep that in mind. While that may be exciting for them to pretend on the playground and in their own stories, it's inappropriate for me as an author to explore some of those ideas in the context of the stories. Now, somebody's going to come in and say, oh, Jersey, you mean you're going to dumb it down for the kiddies? No, no, no. You know that's not what I mean. Think about it for a second. What I mean is that there you can hint at sort of danger and you can hint at the thrill of risking one's safety But if you ever go over into the cross over that line into death, you better be prepared to deal with it. Like, for instance, the way I think He-Man and the Masters of the Universe dealt with it. They dealt with it very tastefully in an episode called The Problem with Power, where He-Man thinks that he inadvertently caused the death of another person. I won't go any further than that. You can look it up online if you want. Try to find a YouTube video or a synopsis of the story. It's a very powerful story. But and then there's another episode called Double-Edged Sword where they deal with that concept very, very vaguely. But the essence is they start talking about violence for real. You know, start talking about this concept of violence. And so it's a subject you have to dance around a little bit. You could do cartoon violence, but if you get too close to real violence, It's something that young kids aren't ready for. So again, you're walking a line. And so when I'm developing these villains, I found myself, when I was in that 10-year-old mindset, of coming up with guys who were just like bristling with guns. And after I developed a bunch of characters, I stepped back and looked at some of these guys, like, you know, guys with like axes all over them, guns all over them, everything, which are things that as a 10-year-old I was drawing. But when I looked at them from an adult standpoint, I realized, well, this probably won't work. This would be a little bit too violent, too edgy for something that is going to be delivered to, you know, K through three, you know, kindergartners through third grade. So how do you balance that? Well, you got to find ways to hint at action and violence and adventure without making it too real. Now, on the Comics Are Great show, I don't talk about it very much on Art and Story, and I don't know why. Maybe I should. It's at comicsaregreat.com, my personal website. I started doing some episodes of a podcast where I'm just the lead host, and I just bring in different guests all the time. And we did an episode with Dave Roman. I think it was episode 2. And we talked a little bit about Avatar The Last Airbender, and Dave was citing how that particular cartoon dealt with the issue of martial arts, violence, and action in a very clever way, in that they introduced this concept of bending. So you're not hitting the person, you're thrusting a giant pillar of water at them, which cartoonizes the violence a little bit. So when somebody's getting slammed into a wall and they hit the wall so hard that in real life a couple ribs would be broken, maybe you'd have a slipped disc after that. But because you've elevated it to moving giant pillars of water and moving giant pillars of earth and shooting fire out of your hands and so on, you've kind of brought it up to the level of mythology where the full scope and ramifications of true violence aren't at play anymore. Okay, that's a good demonstration. That's a good example of what I'm talking about, what kind of line we walk when we're doing comics for all ages, or stories for all ages. So, yeah, I can't have senior gun arms who has all these, ammunition clips stuck in all over his body and firing bullets out of his mouth and eyes and ears. As much as I would have loved that to draw that as a 10-year-old, I can't write stories about that guy without making some parents' eyebrows raise. There is a way to do it in a very cartoony way, yes, but as if you're showing just character sketches to a group of adults, they're not going to see the character in action. All they're going to see is the pure visual, right? So there's a certain limitation involved when creating the villains. And I faced it really quickly. So I had to kind of backtrack, and I only had a week to come up with like 10 characters. And I think I can do it pretty quickly. But man, oh man, it was a challenge, especially when I started coming up on the 11th hour. I had 45 minutes to turn in my comps for the client. You know, I told them you'll have it by week's end. So 5 o'clock on Friday, they got to have it in hand. And I had a collection of 10 characters that I was really happy with, but I didn't have the bios written yet. So I was very feverishly writing bios. And as I said in the last episode, the interesting challenge that comes in when I start thinking about these characters from the adult point of view is start to think about a balance of personalities. And you don't want to get into some kind of system or some kind of routine or some kind of chart of characters. I know there's a better word for it that I'm just not thinking of right now. And it'll probably pop up in my head in about 15 seconds when I'm on another point. But you don't want to have it be too predictable. Like it's always this certain recipe of characters in order to be a well-balanced team. But it's something you get a feel for when you've built a couple ensemble teams, is that, okay, if this guy feels this way, like here's my leader, he's kind of a flamboyant, I was actually trying to think of like, what if I took Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe and made him even more effeminate Cirque du Soleil theatrical, like drama teacher kind of character, but really powerful overlord looking guy. So he walks in the room, he's all Darth Vader, but then his personality is like John Lovitz as the art teacher on The Simpsons, that kind of thing. And if I've got that as my leader, okay, what would be some good foils to pitch at this guy? What would be some kind of characters who would react to that so I can get character interaction and thereby get story? Okay, so I thought, well, okay, one of these guys is going to be, and I think he's in the, I'll include a PDF for this one too, of some of the villains that I was working on. There's a guy called Carapace Cody. And that was just, it started with a name. I thought, Carapace Cody. Carapace is a cool word to say. Makes me think of crabs, obviously. And Carapace Cody sounds like it's got a kind of a Wild West vibe. Like it's like the nickname of some bandit who rolls into town. So, okay, maybe he'll be a crab with some kind of Wild West motif. And then I drew him and I gave him, you know, like you know, these kind of crab gun arms. See, there's one of the ways around it. He's got these organic guns in his little claws rather than holding big machine guns. So they're, you know, science fiction-y kind of guns. Kind of gross, but you know, fifth graders, I'm thinking of them too as I write this story. They love the gross out humor. Garbage Pail Kids, for crying out loud. And so he had this kind of gun motif. I even gave him like a handlebar mustache based on like the mandibles of like what a cartoon mandibles of a crab. And I thought that was clever. It's cute. But then I thought, okay, when I get to his personality, what can I do with this guy to make him react to the leader? I thought, well, what if he is just a mercenary? He's just in it for the money. If you're just there to collect a paycheck and it's just a day job to you, you do not care about all of the flamboyant, foppish musings of some self-important leader, right? If you're there, if you're doing a temp job and then the boss comes in and gives you all of this talk about, you know, motivation and teamwork and whatnot, you don't care. You're just putting in your time. And what's more is you almost resent this guy for wasting your time, right? So that was the inspiration for his personalities. I thought, okay, well, he needs to be absolutely indifferent to the cause. And to do that, I'll make him a mercenary. So now he's less of a cowboy, more of a gun for hire, more of like a Dog the Bounty Hunter kind of character. And that was a surprise for hopefully the readers and myself as I'm creating these characters. And then one of the characters that I will try to include in the notes is a guy called Nox, N-O-X, as in noxious. And that was a simple situation where I was in the client meeting. I was sitting in a, you know, a boardroom with all of the people involved in this project. And they said, well, we want to eventually roll out these stories to kind of teach kids about not drinking before they're of age, not partaking of tobacco before they're of age, doing everything legally, right? On the up and up. So they're not in high school having a keg party, that kind of thing. Which, hey, I'm not going to argue with that, however anybody else feels about it. So I thought, well, what if, and I just kind of threw this out. I was like, well, what if one of the monsters in the story, you know, he belches these clouds of really smelly smoke that makes people sick. And he doesn't like spit it out at him. It's just like whenever he's talking, he puffs of smoke are coming out and everybody's like, oh, pew, you know. And then that kind of drives home this idea to youngsters that smoking is probably not the best thing in the entire world to do without us actually having the characters didactically walk on a screen and say, remember, kids, don't smoke, right? You know, you want to slip that under the wire a little bit. Maybe that's a little bit manipulative. I don't know. But in any case, it created this idea for this funny character where I drew this kind of blobulous monster with a loincloth and these puffs of smoke coming out of his mouth. No personality. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a fierce kind of King Kong kind of character who rumbles into the scene, knocking buildings down, who says, you know, me Nox, me hate you? Or is he going to be very gentle? That would be a surprise. I thought, you know, he's a bad guy. He's got to be kind of destructive. But I don't want him to be just another chest-thumping monster. So I thought, well, okay, what if he's the guy in the office? Again, I'm making another office analogy. Who is just a pure deep bungler. He's the guy who knocks over everything when he turns around too fast because he's kind of big and kind of cumbersome. And when he does it, he tries to help you pick stuff up, but he does a bad job of that too. Oh, hey, let me help you with that, you know? If he emits this smoke that stinks and people think is gross, what else would be gross about him? Well, maybe his skin secretes an oil that's also really disgusting. It's oily, it's stinky, and what's more, it can make you sick. Okay, that drives home this idea of, you know, the him being a monster. He's got some kind of offensive capabilities, but and plus he's really big and he's super strong, but he's not actually evil. He's just more or less of just trying to please his employer. And he always does a bad job of it. But he's so strong and he's so powerful, he's so useful that the bad guy keeps him around. And but whenever he's around, whenever he comes into the office meeting, as it were, I like to think of these villain meetups as office meetings. It helps generate comical scenes for me. Everybody's like, oh boy, there he is. There's the office jerk that we all can't stand. And he doesn't know that we can't stand him. We all talk badly about him behind his back. He's actually not a bad guy. He's just got some bad habits and some bad characteristics about him that we all can't stand. That's the kind of character I was thinking of. And then once again, surprise. So now I've got something that when you look at him, you say big monster, you expect him to roar and thump his chest. But no, he's actually that poor, somewhat lovable dope that nobody likes and nobody gets along with. So, okay, well, I think that's where I'll stop for now because I'm running long. And I guess the observation here at the end is once again, kind of reiterating this idea of looking for character surprises. When you're developing a new project, when you're developing new characters, is I find it's a fun activity to just draw them without thinking about a personality and give yourself a day or two and come back and look at them again and see what the kind of personality comes out for you. And it all starts with those kind of logic questions of, well, what's one thing that I wouldn't think of about this guy? And, you know, before you say like, well, he loves Doritos, I'm talking fundamental things. The next question I would ask somebody, if they said, well, he loves Doritos, I go, well, why does he love Doritos? Is it because he's got bad eating habits? Is he a slob when he eats Doritos? Or is he very neat when he eats Doritos? He just happens to have a penchant for salty snacks, you know? And if he likes salty snacks, what kind of implications does that have for him in other realms of his life? So you try to stick to the fundamentals. And if you get too specific like that, it's time to back up and ask some more logic questions, if that makes any sense. So once again, I'm going to ask you guys to not share that PDF, please. I'm just sharing this with you guys to sort of open up this creative process with you. I would hate to have to take them down after the fact and then re-edit these Thunder Punch dailies. Like I said at the top, I trust you guys. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do it without you. Yeah, there's not much else to say beyond that. It's just that you guys are great because you're allowing us the time to do this extra stuff. I love doing Thunder Punch Daily and I wish I had more time to do it. And that has nothing to do with financial support. This has to do with just being super, super booked for the next 2.5 to 3 months. So maybe my New Year's resolution can be to take Thunder Punch Daily, truly daily. I'd love to do that. So, okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember everybody.
Today we met Nepthu, a man who wanted to become a leader and became one. But Nepthu used his leadership for his own selfish glory, and in the end he got what he deserved. Being a good leader takes a lot of responsibility, but you must also be responsible when you follow a leader. Don't do something wrong or dangerous because someone tells you to. Think before you act. We can't all be leaders, but we can all choose what's right and wrong for ourselves.